IBC's always had a missions program. We've always done Faith Promise missions here. We have with us Bob and Sela Buster from Tonga, and we've supported them since 1996. It's 19 years that we've been partnering together with them in reaching Tonga. There's another couple that we've been supporting even a little longer, from 1992, and that is Michael, and do you know his wife's name? Kaburu? Anybody? This is a hard one, okay? I don't expect many to know that one. His wife's name is Beatrice, Michael and Beatrice Kaburu. And they've been in a part of the world that most of us, I'm sure, has never been to. My wife has been there. I haven't been there, but it's up in the mountains in Kenya. And he goes to villages by foot, and he has established a number of churches, and he's a real church planter. And it's been our privilege to support him, but we've never heard from him before. We've seen some pictures occasionally, and we've had some letters written, but we never actually got to hear him. So it's such a privilege to be able to show you a short clip of Michael Kaburu himself. We got to know Michael through another missionary. He's an American named Jerry Daniels. He and his wife have been in Kenya for many years, and Brother Michael was saved under his ministry and trained and sent out, and so Brother Jerry got us in touch with him. A number of years ago, IBC said we wanted to do something special for Brother Michael and give him something. So we asked, well, what is a need that you have? We were told he needs a bicycle to be able to get around a little better. And so we put our money together. Wasn't much for us, but it was so much to them. And we got him a bicycle. A few years later, we asked again, is there anything else we can do? And at that time, he says he needs a tire for his bicycle. And so we sent some more to get the tire fixed. Not a lot of needs, but he's faithfully doing the work. So go ahead, please, enjoy and watch Brother Michael Kaburu in Kenya. Could you show that?
Thank you. people.
Amen. Wasn't that great to see him? I want to say in person, but it's not in person, but it's still great to see him. So continue to pray for the Kaburus. He's not a young man anymore. he's been at it for some time now, and everyone else ages, but not us, right, man? Say now, I'd like to introduce Brother Buster to you at this time. We've supported him for a number of years as well. Brother Buster and his wife have been in Tonga for a good while now. How many years?
21.
21? Mm-hmm. 21 years in Tonga. His lovely wife, Cecilia, is Tongan herself. And I believe Brother Bob will share with you also, recently he's become a full-fledged Tongan as well, originally from Australia. Mm-hmm. And we won't hold that against him now. Okay? Be nice. But it is a pleasure. It's always a joy to get to talk to and meet other missionaries who have answered the call and have committed their lives and left everything to leave, to follow the Lord and to obey Him, to serve Him, and to see others in parts of the world where we've never been come to Jesus. So let's welcome Brother Bob Buster to the platform, shall we? Thank you, Brother Bob. God bless you.
Thank you. I don't have to sing all this, do I? I'll just put this down.
No, no.
All right, it certainly is good to be here this morning with you in this worship service. And to just thank you for your prayers and your support for us on the mission field in Tonga. Times just seems to stand still when you think about it. 21 years is a long time, but it's just gone just like that. The Bible says that life is like a vapor in James, the book of James. It's here and it goes. It's very short. That's why we have to live for the Lord and do what He wants us to do and answer the call that God has on our life to be able to serve Him. And we certainly did when I surrendered to the Lord to go to the mission field in Tonga. I actually went to Tonga in 1997 after an earthquake. And they had an earthquake there, and the Australian government sent a team over to do a reconstruction of the hospital and the school, the main school on Awa. And that's where I met my wife. She was actually teaching in the school there. And I looked at her in the assembly, when they had the children's assembly, and somebody said to me, "Look at her. She's a good wife. She's single." So anyway, as time progressed, I was able to court Stella. And we went one time to see a movie. And this is going back 36 years, all right? We went to see a movie. It was one of those real movies, okay? Real to real. We didn't have TV over there on AWA at that time. And we went to see a movie, and I went to pick up Stella. I went in a van with just a front seat, and I saw Stella coming out, and then I saw another lady coming out with her. I thought it was just somebody just to say goodbye to her. But this lady came in and sat next to me, and then Stella sat next to her. So this lady was actually a chaperone. And that was going back in that time, and things have changed certainly since that time. But it was a joy for me to be able to see and meet Stella and to marry her. We've been married 36 years. And the Lord took us to Tonga in 1994. And this is a shot of our family. We see our son, our oldest son, Mark, he's 31. Jeremy in the middle is 25, and Jacob is 16. And boy, does time fly and they grow. Mm. And they're getting bigger and bigger as they go. But they've been faithful. Mark's been looking after the services for me while I've been away, and he fills the pulpit. And I'd ask you for your continued prayer for our boys as they seek the Lord's direction and also a partner in life, all right? Next slide, if I could. Most of you know what the South Pacific's like, but there's something like 22 islands in the South Pacific group. And we see that there's a great need of the gospel going to all these islands. Most of those islands don't have a fundamental church on the island. And so we need to be praying for that. We're at number 19 there, you can see, in the middle. And we went to Tonga in 1994. Next slide, please. And this is Tonga, the group of islands. There's 167 islands, of which 37 of those are inhabited. They're spread over about a 600-kilometer radius in pretty much a straight line. And the top group of islands is Vava'u. You see the top group there. And the middle group is Hapai. And back in January of last year, Cyclone Ian went through and devastated, completely wiped out that center group of islands. People were living under trees for weeks on end before they were waiting for tents to come to be able to have some shelter. And the bottom group of islands is where we live, is the Tongatapu group. You see the capital there, Nuku'alofa. Next slide. This is the shape of the main island, Tongatapu, and we started our work there in Nuku'alofa. Where you see the aeroplane, yeah, that is you saw the aeroplane on that previous slide, that's where the international airport is. So the length of the island is not very long, but it just gives you an idea of the scope and the scale of the islands. It's a reef that goes all around all of our islands, and people have asked me if there are good surfing beaches there. Well, there's only one that I know of, and that's because there's a break in the reef where the waves can come through. But most of the islands right throughout the whole group are surrounded by reefs. Very hard to get onto the islands. Next slide, please. We started the first church in 1994, and I led a lady to the Lord 2 weeks after we arrived there. And I thought, missionaries go to the field, and they take sometimes months, sometimes years before they see somebody come to the Lord. But we were privileged to be able to see a lady accept Christ as a Savior, and we started the church there. This is currently the building where Tonga Bible Baptist Church meets. And next slide. And in 2005, after training up Tony Matangi, this is his family, Tony and Sulia and their children, I handed the work over to Brother Tony, and I believe that it is a responsibility of the local church to train its own men. And I see that you're doing that here, and sending them out, and that's exactly what we've done there. Amen. And Brother Tony took over the work in 2005. Next slide. Back in August, actually a year ago, they had their anniversary service, 20 years, because the lady that I'd actually led to the Lord, she's the lady right in the middle with the blue, that's Mele, and that's Mary in English. And we're blessed to be able to see her there. Her health has not been good, so Pastor Tony said, well, maybe we need to have the celebration a little bit early. Just if we wait to 2005, she may not be there. So that's why they had it at the 20 years. And this is the picture of the building, and on that particular day, one of the services that we're in. Next slide. Lord took us to Awa Island. A lot of people don't know how to pronounce that name, Awa. Awa. There's all different pronunciations, but it's Awa. And the greeting in Tongan is Maloalele. So if you say, get up, this is the Aussie, okay? When we're in Aussie, we say, g'day, mate. And here in Kiwi land, okay, you say, oh, hello. And in Tonga, they say Maloalele. So the greeting is Maloalele, and you say Maloalele back. So Maloalele.
Maloalele.
Very good. You're part Tongan already, okay? The island which we went onto is not a very big island. It has a population of 5,000 people, and you can see the villages there, Homa, Ohanua, Tufuwai, Whangai, Ma'atua, I think it is, and Haluma Beach down the bottom. But the island is fairly long, but it only takes about 3/4 an hour to travel from one end of the island to the other, going at about 40 kilometres an hour. Where the plane was on the previous slide, we see that that was where the airport is. If this is where the airport, this is the next shot of the airstrip. We, 2 years ago, we had the airstrip upgraded, and give you a rough idea of the length of the island. You can see the main island in the back there. It's about 11 kilometres away, and it takes about 3.5 to 4 hours by boat, and it only takes about 7 minutes to come on a plane such as this. It's good to be able to come on a plane that keeps its feet on the ground, or its wheels on the ground. You can see the plane on the right-hand side there. It lost it, or the undercarriage didn't come down, so they had to do a belly landing on the grass. And six people on their plane, but they all survived, so we praise the Lord for that. 7 minutes it takes to come across, and they say it's the shortest commercial flight in the world. So you just take a big, deep breath as you take off, and you let the breath go as you land. That's how quick it is. Next slide. The other means of transport is on the onimato, the barge or the ferry that we have. This was purchased by the people of Awa. They actually raised funds overseas in New Zealand, Australia, America. Wherever there were Tongans, they went there and they had concerts or whatever they did, and they tried to raise the money. It cost $1 million to get this vessel, and it's been a real blessing for the island. That's in the main wharf in Awa. It just turns around there. When it does, it churns up all the mud on the bottom of the harbour, but it's certainly been a blessing for us, particularly on Awa, to be able to get produce and everything that we need over to the main island and bring also big things back to Awa. You can see the wharf on the right side, the wharf area. This is the village of Ohanua, and the blue building you see up on the left-hand side there is the high school. The middle, the white one there, is the Mormon church. Awa has 42 churches on it. We have a population of 5,000 people, so you work that out. It's about 100 and some per church. And we have all the different denominations. Methodism is the most prominent, then comes Mormonism, and then Catholicism. And so we see that there are many church buildings in the island. This is the center of the island, the main road going through the center. The building at the bottom you see there is a Mormon building. They have a lot of money. They build a lot of big buildings on the island. Actually, we went up to a building, up to an island a few years back, and we went through a village, and there was a little Mormon building there. But there were no people going to the church there. They actually built the building before they had the people coming. And so they would take a group of people to that church area, or to that area, and try and evangelize and bring people and start to work there. That's how they do it. That's not how we do it. We go in and see people and share the gospel and see them come to Christ. And we were blessed to be able to build our own building. This is Awa Bible Baptist Church. We were able to make everything ourselves. We made all the blocks. They're handmade. Each block weighed about 15 kilo when we made it. And we were able to make it and lay the foundation and build the building. It was a blessing because we were able to do it without borrowing any money. We took the verse in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, where it says, "Call unto me, and I'll answer thee, and show thee many great and mighty things which thou knowest not." And the Lord certainly was faithful to us, as we were faithful to him. It took 4 years to build it, but we praise the Lord for the building, because this has shown to the people of Awa particularly that we are there to stay. Before we were meeting in our shed at our home, and now we're right in the middle, right in the center of the island. And it's been a blessing how the Lord provided that block of land for us. Just by way of general interest, I've been asking for prayer. Next slide. Asking for prayer for our citizenship. Our boys are actually not citizens. As a matter of fact, they're aliens. They don't even have a visa. Visas have expired. We've been applying for the citizenship for quite a few years, and on this particular day in November last year, I was sworn in by one of the princesses, Princess Funny, and she officiated the service there. It was an interesting way of how I was able to obtain that. Well, I actually do honey. I have beehives on the island. I produce honey, and the king had, over the last couple of years, had been getting the honey from us, unbeknown to us, and we found that he liked the honey, and on the day that, actually a year ago, in August, the king came over to Awa for an agriculture show, and it'll be going on again on the 14th of this month. And he came over, and the first cousin of the queen lives on Awa, and she asked if we could have some honey to give to the king and present some gifts to the king on the Sunday. And so I said, "Yeah, sure, I can give you the honey." And so I thought, this is a great opportunity to see what could happen about our citizenship. So I decided to pray about writing a letter. So I wrote a letter, and explained in that letter why I was there in Tonga, how I came to Tonga, how the Lord, how I was saved, and how the Lord brought us to Tonga Tapu to start a church there, and also to start a church on Awa. And she took the letter with the hei, and she presented it all to the Queen, and the Queen saw the letter. They thought the letter was about the honey. And she saw on the letter, oh, His Majesty the King. That's what I had written on the front of the envelope. And she passed it to her husband and said, this is for you, dear. And he opened it up and saw and read the testimony of my life. And the next day I received a phone call to say, you need to get ready to become a citizen of Tonga. Now, things in Tonga work slowly. Tongan time, all right? And that was in August when I gave the letter. I didn't become a citizen until November. But it was a blessing to see how the Lord worked. The King is coming again in 2 weeks' time on the 14th. And I hope to see him. This time I won't be presenting a letter because our boys have not become citizens. They are illegal, so to speak, in the island. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs says don't worry about it, but I do worry about it because it's something that we need to straighten out. And so I'm going to have an audience with the King, and I'm going to ask him then, what can be done about our son's citizenship? So I ask for your prayer with that, all right? Mm-hmm. This is the King there. He was crowned the King a couple of weeks ago. Actually, on the 4th of July, he became the King of Tonga. And he has a real heart for the people. And like the previous one, he has a real heart for the people to be able to see the people do what they need to do in order for the work of God to proceed. My batteries are going flat. Would you like to trace them? Okay. This won't take long. On there? That's better? Okay, you can hear me now. All right. Now, do you want me to start from the beginning? No? Okay. Be praying for the King, for the leadership. You know, we need to pray for the leadership of our nation, don't we? And he certainly needs to pray that we will be able to see the nation of Tonga go forward. Just to give you an idea of a little bit of the lifestyle on AWA, this is AWA Discount Tire Service, and this is how they change the tires. You see the old machine there and the man there with the bar. It's a steel bar, solid steel bar, and he's trying to break the bead of the tire. And you can notice where his foot is. He hasn't got, you know, here they have hobnail boots, don't they? The steel caps. Not over there, they do everything bare feet. So I don't know how many times he's actually hit his foot, but he seems to be fairly good at it. Next slide. This is our home, part of our home, and our boys are actually curing vanilla. We've been growing vanilla for a number of years. This past year has been a very bad year for our vanilla and for the island as well. But there was a company from America, Cooks it's called. They came over, they asked me at the beginning of the year, would our boys be interested, or would we be interested in curing vanilla? And there's very little employment. There's no unemployment benefits. There's no help from the government. So work has to be done by trying to find work and ways to create work for you. And so this company asked if we would like to cure vanilla. So we said yes, and the boys have taken that task on. Now, I don't know if you know anything about vanilla. Vanilla is a little flower. It comes from the orchid family. And to get a vanilla bean, you can see the beans there. They're actually green when you first get them, okay? You actually have to hand pollinate every flower to get the vanilla bean. So every one of those beans there had to be hand pollinated. It's the only way you can get it done. In Mexico, they have a little tiny bee. But in everywhere else in the world, the bees are too big to get inside the flower, so you have to do it by hand. So you get the green bean and you blanch it in hot water, and then you take it out and put it in, as we saw in the previous slide, into a big container and cover it over for a couple of days, and it changes to brown, from green to brown. And then begins the process of the bringing out the aroma and the taste and smell of vanilla. And the boys are doing that. It takes about 6 months, 5 to 6 months to actually do the whole process of curing it. So it's an extensive, a lot of work, and every day they have to bring the vanilla beans out, dry them, put them back in and sweat them overnight, bring them out again in the sun, dry them, and keep on that process and then start working every bean. Every single bean has to be actually worked to be able to see the process and the aroma come out. So we've been very blessed for the boys to be able to do that. This year they've got a ton of vanilla, that's 1,000 kilos. So next year they may have some more, but it's a good start for them. So I'd be praying about that, that the Lord would be able to provide that for them on a continued basis. Next slide. Part of our ministry is always working with people and seeing people grow in the Lord. Our ladies group is something that Sela undertakes. In Titus chapter 2, verse 4, it says that they may teach the young women. And the next slide. And that is something that we've undertaken with different groups. And Sela has a ladies group and takes them on a Thursday night, every second Thursday, and they have a ladies group meeting. Next slide. Our ministry on AWA is to go, therefore, and teach all nations. The word teach there means make disciples of. And discipleship is a very important part of our ministry because it's through discipleship where we can teach the people the need of salvation and then also the teach them the fundamentals of the faith. Even though we have a lot of religion in Tonga, it doesn't mean that everyone's saved. And we've certainly found that out very clearly. Next slide. This is just a picture of the discipleship class on one occasion. I don't seem to take photos a lot, you know. You sort of think, oh, it'd be nice to get that photo, it'd be nice to get that photo, but you never have the camera there. Although today you have the mobile phone. But this is a discipleship class that we have every Tuesday night. And then on Monday night I have an individual sort of discipleship class with different people and to be able to minister to them. But part of discipleship is also see people saved and then baptized. Next slide, please. And we take them down to the wharf. We do have a baptistry in the church, but there was no water supply. It's been off for quite a while. So we take them, normally this is the mode that we do it. We go down to the sea, and in the harbour, as you see there behind us, is where we baptise people. Next slide. And Lang Langi, this is 6 weeks ago now. Lang Langi, he's a prison officer, and his wife, next slide, in the middle, in the next slide. No slide. Okay, there we go. We see Lang Langi and Finau. She's the pharmacist at the hospital, and Viuki is one of the young ladies that was saved, and they were all baptized. Lang Langi and Finau have been praying for a long time to come to AWA. She was saved in just January of last year at a family camp. He was saved in November last year, and he has a real heart to learn from the Word of God, and they have a hunger for it, and it's a joy to be able to minister to them. He asked me just before we came away from Tonga, he said, we don't have a church up in Vava'u. And I said, no, we don't, but we need to be praying about it. And I ask for your prayers for him and some of our young men. Next slide, please. As the Lord works in their heart to be able to see them answer the call of God on their lives. This particular occasion was a funeral just before we left, on the Saturday before we left a month ago to go to Australia and then come here. We attended a funeral of the sister of one of our church members. And it's a good way for us to come in and just minister and share the gospel. And on this occasion, we were able to do that and come into the home. One of the things is that with religious groups, they're very wary of who we are. But on this occasion, we took some hymn sheets, and I've had printed out, and I handed them out to everybody. And they were actually singing hymns that they knew, but they were singing them in English. And they were singing them just as well as our people. And so it was a real blessing to be able to go there and minister the word of God to them and see us to have an impact into the life of the community there. Next slide. This is Father's Day. In Tonga, we have in May, we have Children's Day on the first Sunday, Mother's Day on the second Sunday, and Father's Day on the third Sunday. So this is Father's Day presentation. These are some of the men in our church. The man in the pink there standing next to me is the noble's representative, and every official function, he has to actually attend that. When he came across to our church, the people in the island, particularly in the group that he belonged to, the Methodist group, they were fearful of him leaving because they lost the identity of having the noble's representative go away from their church. And but Langi, that's his name, stood firm, and he's a very faithful man. And we're very blessed to have him in our church. So these are some of the men in our church. This is some of the folks of our family camp in January. We had both churches from the main island and from AWA joined together in our family camp. We had a team from Sherwood Hills Baptist Church in Sydney come and minister to us there. And so these are some of the folks. They're not all of them. There's a few more of them around. But these are some of the folks that you've been praying for and that through your support we've been able to go out and share the gospel and see people saved. But you know, it's just not only in Tonga, but the whole of the South Pacific needs churches established on them. To be praying for this, the South Pacific, and particularly for men to be able to surrender and go and plant churches in these islands that we see there. Next slide. Pray for Tonga. We certainly need prayer that we'll be able to see Tonga go forward and be a real testament of what God can do in a nation's life. And pray for the islands of Tonga that we'll be able to establish other churches through the Hapai and the Vava'o group of islands. Pray for us, the Busta family, and the field, mission field of Tonga. And when you pray for us, look at us in the photos. I think, I'm not sure if you have this particular photo. I've got some new prayer cards coming out. But pray for us, pray for our boys, that the Lord would find a, that they would find a, and pray for a partner in life. And that the Lord would work in their lives. They have a real desire to stay in Tonga. You can see it by their dress. They're dressed like the normal Tongans on a Sunday. And as we see in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 and 38, it says, "Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." It says, "They pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." You know, we need to be praying. It is God that calls men to the ministry and men to be trained up, young men that would surrender their lives to go to the mission field. And we need to be praying for that. And as it says there, "Pray ye there the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." The harvest is there. We just simply have to go out and get it and reap it in. So I thank you for being attentive to that. And pray for us as we continue the work there in Tonga. Well, I just wanted to share a bit of the word with you this morning. And I know you have Faith Promise here in IBC. And Faith Promise is something that I've been associated with all my Christian life, 27 years of it. And it's been a blessing to see how God has used Faith Promise through churches to be able to fulfill their responsibility to not only serve the Lord in their Jerusalem, but also in Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. So we have that grave responsibility to be able to see that happen. And I want to have a look at Faith Promise this morning as we turn in our Bibles. If you have a Bible there, into 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and verse 1 through to verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Verse 9. Why don't you stand that way? Stretch your legs a little bit as we read the Word of God. Second Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. It says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction and the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift, and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in every good, in every thing, in faith and utterance and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love for to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. And for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Father in heaven, we thank thee, Lord, for your wonderful word. We ask, Lord, as we just opened it this morning briefly, that we would see through your word the need that we have of fulfilling the obligation of reaching out through this church and through others that we see, that we'd be faithful in our missions giving. But we ask that we might understand the purpose of Faith Promise Missions, and that through it, Lord, that you might bless this church and also bless those that go out because of the faithfulness of your people here. We ask that you would just bless your word now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever thought or said to yourself, if I had a lot of money, that I would just give it to missions, that I'd be able to support missions? Probably you would say, no, I want to keep it for myself. But there are times when even I, as I look at the mission field and the responsibility I even have as a missionary to see the word of God go out, not only in our area there on Awa and Tonga, but also to the uttermost parts of the earth. We practice Faith Promise Missions in Awa Bible Baptist Church. And I believe it's through Faith Promise that we are able to fulfill God's call and the responsibility that we have of fulfilling Faith Promise. You know, although we might not have the resources ourselves to do what we want to do, but God does. All that he wants us to be is a channel through which he can give that others might hear the gospel and be saved. God is not willing that any should perish. That is his desire. God doesn't want anyone to perish. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He wants them all to come to repentance, that they might receive the grace of God upon their life. And so he has a plan for world evangelism. And it is by and through the local church as we undertake and fulfill our responsibility for Faith Promise. Now, I want you to note the Faith Promise, the definition of a Faith Promise offering. A Faith Promise offering is money that God will give through you, which he may never give to you if he saw he could not trust you to pass it on to others. Let me say that again. A Faith Promise offering is money that God will give through you, which he might never give to you if he saw that he could not trust you to pass it on to others. That's what Faith Promise is. It's very exciting to become one of God's channels through which he gives, so that every man might hear and come to the knowledge of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We read in our text verse here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, in verse 3, it says, "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves." This is the churches, I should say, of Macedonia. It says there that they beyond their power, in other words, beyond their ability, okay, beyond their ability they were able to give. But how can one give beyond the limits of his or her own ability? Well, I believe it's through Faith Promise offerings. I believe that God uses Faith Promise to be able to see his work accomplished here on earth. Paul tells the churches, or brings the church of Corinth, I should say, to their attention, the churches of Macedonia. Now, these churches are made up of the churches of Thessalonica, Berea, and Philippi. And he does not command them or force them into something that they should do, but rather he instructs them and encourages them. And in verse 8, it says there, in chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, verse 8, he says, "I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love." What he was instructing the Corinthian church there is that see what the Macedonian churches were doing. See how they were giving, the way in which they were giving. And see if God isn't stirring your heart to also be able to give in the same way. Consider some of the principles this morning of giving that can be drawn from these accounts of Scripture here that we read out. And first of all, let's consider a person's ability to give does not depend upon how much money is in their bank account. You know, oftentimes churches, when pastors speak about money, we get back. We don't want to talk about money. But money is an important part of our life, isn't it? It is through the finances that we receive that we are able to sustain life. And so money is an important part not only of our own life, but also in the life of the church to which we belong. And we have that responsibility. The believers in the church of Macedonia were extremely poor. Look at verse 2 in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It says how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Not only were they poor, but they were also experiencing persecution because of their newfound faith in Jesus Christ. You know, in Tonga, it's very difficult for people to break away from their family tradition, break away from their family unit. So when we see a person saved, it's very difficult for them to break away from that family unit they belong to because they live in a community where their family is directly around them. And so when they do break away, they receive persecution, just like we see here with the churches of Macedonia. They were receiving persecution because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And many had lost their jobs because some of the jobs that some of them would have had were to make idols for the idol worship of those times. And so they lost the means of their support. And I think some of you who have lost a job know what I'm talking about. When you lose that support that you need, it becomes a great need in your life. And this is what we see here with the churches of Macedonia, that many were suffering and facing persecution. Yet we find, and they were very poor, yet we find that a great work was going through their life, even through because of that. The mathematical equation in this verse that we see in verse 2 doesn't make sense to the world, nor would it make sense to the carnal Christian mind. But think about this equation. Affliction, okay, they were suffering persecution, plus poverty, plus joy in what they were doing means liberality. Liberality means big-heartedness. It means open-handedness. It means a bountifulness, liberality. You know, when you give something liberally, it's something that is great. It receives a lot. It's not just a little bit. So we see here the equation, affliction plus poverty plus joy equals liberality. And they had received the grace of God upon their life. We see that in verse 1. In verse 1, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Graces. There are many kinds of graces that God bestows upon his children. One of them is saving grace. We know that from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith. One of the saving grace. There's also the strengthening grace. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I'll just read a little bit for you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, it says, where the Lord said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So there's strengthening grace. And there's also the grace of giving that we see through the churches of Macedonia there in verse 1 of chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians. Note another equation here that we see in Scripture, that grace plus obedience plus faith equals an abundant life. Grace plus obedience plus faith equals an abundant life. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 12, he says, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, God wants us to have an abundant life. God wants us to be blessed in our life. He wants us blessed in a way that others would see, hey, there's something in that person's life, something that I don't have. And that's what he gives. He gives us an abundant life. And it's an abundant life that we can live and by his grace be able to see others also receive that abundant life. We see here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, that they received God's grace. They were in obedience to his word, doing what they could. And then by faith, they went beyond their own resources that others might hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. The second point we want to point out this morning is God's giving to us is often directly proportionate to our giving to him. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, just over. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 6 says, "And this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." That's a promise from God's word. I don't know about you, but I love to see the promises of God's word fulfilled in my life. I'm sure that most of you would like to see the blessings of God upon your life. But if you give a little sparingly, you're going to receive sparingly. But if you give bountifully, the promise of God's word is that he will give bountifully. He will bless your giving if you're faithful to him. What kind of harvest do you want to see in your life and in the life of others? You know, when a farmer goes out to plant his crops, he goes out prepared to plow the ground, to make the soil acceptable to receive the seed, that he might get the best harvest that he could possibly receive from the work that he has undertaken. He wants to see a bountiful harvest. At least that's my expectation. When I go out and plant the veggie garden, plant the seeds, I want to see a good harvest of what I plant in the ground. I'm sure some of you are minded to do a bit of gardening and planting vegetables. You want to see a harvest when you put the seed in the ground. We want to see a bountiful harvest. That's my expectation. Look what it says there in verse 6 again, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. It says, "But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully." And then in verse 7 it says this, "Every man according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." A cheerful giver. Every man according as he has purposed in his heart. You know, the first time I ever heard a faith promise, first time I ever undertook to be a part of Faith Promise Missions in our sending church, it was something that was totally new to me. I'd never asked for this in my life. But I knew that what God needed for me to do, to purpose in my heart, what he could give me through me to give to Faith Promise Missions. I had to purpose in my heart what he wanted me to do. And I was amazed at what he asked me to give. I want to tell you something. I've been a Christian 27 years, and God has never, ever let me down. Does that mean I've always had good things and I've had an abundance? No. There have been times of great struggle. But even through those times of learning, God never, ever let me down. And I promise to you that if you take the word of God and you believe the word of God and that you purpose in your heart to give to Faith Promise Mission, he will never let you down. Never. Even though you might have a need, you think, well, I've got to give this to Faith Promise Mission, he will never let you down. There's always a way that he provides for us. He never lets us down. In Luke chapter 6, we see that we give to get, to give again. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, it says, Luke chapter 6 verse 38 says, "Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over." I love that part. "Running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that we meet with all, it shall be measured to you again." That's a promise from the Word of God. Give, and it shall be given unto you. You know, we have to, by faith, trust God. That's what it's all about. That's why it's called faith promise. It's by faith that we trust Him to provide for the promise of what we are going to give to faith promise. But the promise of God's word here in Luke chapter 6 is that if we give, it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over. God never short-sheets us. He never short-changes us. God gives to the proportion of what we give to Him. Look at Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Here it talks about bringing the tithe. We all know what tithe means. Yeah? Tithe means 10%. 10% of all that God gives to us, the gross of what He gives. And here in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, it says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Now, back in the time of Malachi, that was to bring their tithes to the temple and to place it there, giving to the work of God through the work of the temple, providing for the priests, providing for the upkeep of the temple and all that necessitated there. But it says here, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house. And He says, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. What a fantastic promise. They were to bring their tithe, and if they were faithful, God would provide for their needs. He would always do that. And God challenges us to try it out. He tries to encourage us to outgive Him, and we know we can't. We can't win, but it's wonderful to try. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, it says, honor the Lord with all thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. Honor the Lord. He provides, we give back. Again, in Malachi chapter 3, verse 11, it tells us, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he will not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. So if we bring our tithes to God's house, and God's house today is the local church, the storehouse, we know that that tithe belongs to God. 10% of what we earn is His. It's not yours. It belongs to Him. So a lot of people have a thought that when they give their tithe, that they're actually giving to God. No, you're not. Our tithe belongs to God. It's His. It's not ours. And He requires that we give it to Him. Bring it into the storehouse, the local church, when you receive your offering. But don't use your tithe for your faith promise, because our faith promise is an offering. You know, we never give to God unless we give above our tithe. You understand that? We never give to God until we give above our tithe. So don't use your tithe for your faith promise. To do that would be robbing God of the tithe. He promises there in verse 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. That's a promise again. If we give our tithe and bring it and give it back, or give it back to God, it's His anyway. He says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. What's a devourer? An unexpected bill? A breakdown with a car? That's going to cost you a lot of money? A medical emergency that will put you out of pocket? That's what the devourer is. So if we rob God, He has a way of getting it back. And He makes it hard on us. It also says there, and He shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast a fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord God. The faith promise giving is an offering that is above our tithe. Our tithe is not an offering. It belongs to God. It's His. But our faith promise is something that we give because we're trusting God to give it back to Him through the mission program of the church. The third point we need to look at here is that all true giving begins with giving of ourselves. All true giving begins with the giving of ourselves. This isn't easy. We see there in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5. It says, "And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." You know what they did? They gave themselves to the Lord. They gave themselves wholeheartedly. Yeah, it's much easier to give of our substance than to give ourselves. It's much easier to pay the pastor and the staff of the church to do the ministry of the church than to find a ministry whereby we can labor for the Lord and give ourselves to it and perform it. You see, giving ourselves to the Lord is a matter of lordship. A person will always have difficulty accepting Bible principles of giving until they have first given themselves completely to God. He must acknowledge the lordship of Christ over himself and all his possessions. We can never know the joy of the Macedonian believers' experience until we are willing to give ourselves and all that we have to Jesus Christ. In verse 3 there it says, "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves." As it says in verse 5, "And this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." Giving ourselves totally to Him. That's what they did. That's why they could do what they did. Because they gave themselves to the Lord wholeheartedly. Notice in Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14 and verse 33. Luke chapter 14 verse 33 says, "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." The Bible tells us here that we need to forsake all that we have. And if we don't, we cannot be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. The word there, forsake, doesn't mean that we throw everything away. It simply means that we release everything to the control of the Lord, to allow Him to be Lord of all in our life. That's what we need. We can only see that happen if we give ourselves like the believers at Macedonia gave themselves. The fourth point we want to see this morning is that what we give proves how much we love God. What we give proves how much we love God. You know, the opposite of love is not hate. Oftentimes we think of that. And it is, in a sense, yes, the opposite. But the opposite of love is selfishness. Selfishness. And we live in a world where many are selfish. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." God was willing to give. And He showed the genuineness of His love, the sincerity of His love, by giving His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you and for me, that we might receive the greatest gift of all, the gift of eternal life. If we compare that with 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, it says, "For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich." We see how Jesus Christ loved us by His giving. He gave Himself. If God measured my love for Him by what I have given to Him, I could ask the question, how great is my love? Faith promise allows us to demonstrate and give the evidence of our love, to show. In John chapter 21, we see Jesus' soul-searching question to Peter. When He said to Peter in John chapter 21, and verse 15. He says to Peter, he says, so when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Lord, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, feed my sheep. And in verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. What a challenge to Peter. But what Jesus was trying to bring out of Peter was the genuineness of his love. And we know that Peter loved the Lord. Even though he denied the Lord, he loved the Lord and was willing to go to all ends and die for him. The Macedonian churches showed the sincerity of their love by giving over and above their means. Someone has said that you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. And faith promise, giving, is a biblical principle. Remember, our ability to is not determined by the size of our bank account. We know that when we give, we need to give above what we can express in a way that would honor the Lord and show him that we love him. Jesus illustrated that in Mark chapter 12. In Mark chapter 12. Remember the story of the woman with the two mites? In Mark chapter 12 and verse 41 and to verse 44. It says, and Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And then came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto his disciples and said unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her own want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Great illustration there of how we give. Oftentimes we say, oh, well, I can spare this for our faith promise giving. But sometimes we don't have that. But God wants us to be a part of faith promise. God wants us to be a part of the ministry of this church in reaching out with the gospel of Jesus Christ to support missionaries like ourselves on the field that we might do the work of God and see souls saved, baptized, and serving the Lord. You've already seen during the illustration of the presentation, how God has been using us in Tonga. And it's because of faith promise that he's enables us to be there. God giving to us is often proportioned to our giving. But our giving begins with ourselves. And our giving proves our love. Please pray about what God would have you to give to Faith Promise here at International Bible Baptist Church. That God would use you through your giving and in Faith Promise be able to sustain not only the missionaries you have on the field now, but the Lord will add to your ability to be able to support others. You know, the proof of our love is what we give to God. If you give sparingly, God will also give sparingly. But if you give bountifully, the promise of God's word is that he will give you bountifully. And you need to be praying about your faith promise commitment. I know this is starting at the beginning of your faith promise month, but you need to begin praying now about what God would have you to give when it comes to the end of this month. You might be able to see God do an amazing thing through your life. I promise you, if you fulfill your obligation, that you will be blessed abundantly. Abundantly. That's the promise of His word. Let us pray. Father, we just thank You, Lord, for Your very word. We thank You, Lord, that the promises that You give us are something that we can hold dear and fast. It's not just words coming from the Word of God. These are promises that You give. But if we are faithful to You, You are faithful to us. We realize, Lord, that there will be also a testing time to prove our faith. Without a testing time, how can our faith be truly proved? But we know that You'll sustain us through whatever comes our way. And Father, I pray for this assembly, the brethren here, that You would do a great work through their lives, that through their faith promise commitment, that we might see more men, more of Your work going out from this work here. And we will see a mighty abundance of what You can give. Lord, use Your people here. I thank You and praise You for what You've seen already done. But Lord, we can do more. And we need to. Just like the churches of Macedonia, even through their poverty, they were able to give of themselves and also the provision that was needed. Help us to be like them, that You might use us for Your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Bob, for the message to us this morning. And I just pray that you had been challenged and be able to respond to the message to us. We get a couple of announcements before we finally dismissed. If you are visiting IBC for the first time, I would like to invite you to our welcome lounge. It's the second room here on my left. We'd like to, if you'd like to, interested to know more about IBC, and we'd like to more about with you.
Probably better get them going.
And also, IBC Sports Ministry is happening today at the Panmure Leisure Center, 3 to 5 p.m. If you're interested to come play basketball and badminton, invite your friends as well. There's a $5 donation towards the cost of the of the courts, and also BTC Baptist Training College term like 3 has now commenced. If you're interested, you can still enroll and talk to our one of our pastors. It's happening every Tuesday and Thursday.
See you in a little while.
So if you're interested, see one of our pastors. Adults Bible study every Sunday from 10 a.m. So right now we are on the book of Revelation. So a very interesting topic. So we invite you to come at 10 a.m. So let's continue to pray for our missionaries. And do visit our missions wall over there, and in the just in front of our kitchen, and see what's going on in the mission fields, and be updated with our missionaries as well. So, and finally, we'll take time to acknowledge the birthdays and anniversaries. If anybody celebrating birthdays from today up to next Saturday? Anybody? No one? Someone there? No? What about wedding anniversaries? Nobody? Oh, we got here. All right. Let us all stand up and sing happy anniversary to our brother and sister here. And we'll ask Pastor Ken to close us in a word of prayer. Happy anniversary to you.
Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, God bless you. Happy anniversary to you. How many years? How many years? 2 years? Yeah. 12, okay. Well, let's be dismissed in prayer. Brother Bob and Scylla had to be heading off already, so sorry about that. They're heading over to Central for afternoon service. So please continue to pray for them and pray for all of our missionaries. Let's pray together. Father, dismiss us now, I ask, with your blessings. Thank you for the words Brother Bob shared with us, and may they stay in our hearts as we leave this place. May we first give ourselves wholly to you in all things. And may you, Lord, show us, each of us, what you want us to do, especially when it comes to missions in this coming year. Give us a greater passion and a burden. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You are now dismissed.